everybody. How's it going? Welcome to another episode of Halifax is Burning, the campus and community radio show where you're going to hear the best in Atlantic Canadian music. I'm your host, Trevor Murphy, here to be your guide for the next 60 minutes. This week on the show, later on, we'll hear a part of an interview I taped with jazz legend Jerry Grinnelli, who you may know as the drummer on the soundtrack for A Charlie Brown Christmas. Yes, one of the best, if not the best, best-selling Christmas records of all time. Also, arguably, one of the best Christmas records of all time, period. We'll also look ahead to both the Shivering Songs and In the Dead of Winter festivals, and we'll hear another one of Halifax is Burning's favorite musical moments of 2017. But first, after a slew of digital singles, Adam Mowry's Papal Visit is officially in the album books with the release of their debut full-length Golden Grove. So tonight, let's get things kicked off with a ripper from that record. This is called What Makes Him Win Like That, and maybe you're hearing it here first on Halifax is Burning.
Like that.
back to 1998 from the album Elements of an Incomplete Map. That's North of America and a song called Time Changes Technique. North of America have actually been on the road celebrating their 20th anniversary. They were performing shows all across the country, except not yet here on the east coast of Canada, but word is that come 2008, we can 2018, we can expect some shows in the very near future from North of America. So we'll let you know when we know for sure, but we're very much looking forward to seeing them in action again, especially here in Halifax, Nova Scotia, their hometown. Ahead of that, we heard from Designosaur from the excellent record Seattle of the North, one of our favorites here of the whole year on Halifax is Burning, a track called Don't Lead Me to It. And we kick the show off tonight with a track from Papal Visit from a new full-length record called Golden Grove. Short but sweet tune called What Makes Him Win Like That. Well, year-end lists are in full effect, and I'm sure you have been bombarded with the top 10 best albums of the year, the top 50 best songs, the best videos, etc., etc., etc. This year on Halifax is Burning, we are going to aim to do something a little bit different. Instead of offering up our favorite albums, our favorite tracks, our favorite singles, we're going to talk about our favorite musical moments of 2017. Last week here on the show, we played a song from Not You's record. Tonight, we're going to hear something from John McKeel's record, Memorial 10 Count. This is a fabulous record. You can get it right now via You've Changed Records. And my favorite part about this song is it kind of devolves at the very end. It kind of just unravels into itself. It's kind of noise and cacophony, but somehow it's still maintaining this incredible structure and this incredible precision. And as you think it's going to just all fall apart completely, it comes back in with this single snare hit that just takes it up a notch and brings you into a whole nother stratosphere. So pay attention for that. We're going to hear this track from John McKeel's Memorial 10 Count. This is a song called Conduit. And you're listening to Halifax is Burning.
Peace sign to America. System of law. Everyone to witness to the white line. Nothing in the conduit. Nothing in the tower. Everything is electric. No power.
Well, if that doesn't get you in the holiday season, quite frankly, I don't know what will. From the album A Charlie Brown Christmas, that's the Vince Guaraldi Trio and an instrumental number called Skating. A Charlie Brown Christmas, the soundtrack to that special, is one of the most iconic Christmas albums out there. It is the best-selling Christmas album of all time. It is in such high demand and has become this sort of emotional touchstone for a lot of people who are interested in Christmas and who celebrate Christmas. Of course, the soundtrack dates back to the year 1965 and accompanied the animated special, A Charlie Brown Christmas. So there are some things you may not know about this special. There are fascinating things about this story. For example, it almost never made it to air. It was actually sponsored by Coca-Cola, and they were the ones who were forceful at getting it to air. One of the reasons that the network was anxious about airing it was, as a matter of fact, and because of the music. Jazz at the time was not a socially accepted thing, certainly not something you put on the television screen for millions and millions of people to watch and listen to via the television. So it was kind of a radical idea that this music would be in a cartoon whose primary focus was children. So there's that, the fascinating story. You may also not know that this special, the music, everything kind of came together about 10 days before A Charlie Brown Christmas actually aired on television, which is unbelievable to think about. And you may not know that the drummer on this album, Jerry Grinnelli, is a longtime resident of Halifax, Nova Scotia. Jerry is a jazz legend, performing for years and years and years. He's been living here in Halifax since the 80s. He's one of the folks who's been very instrumental in the Halifax Jazz Festival. And a few years ago, he decided to revisit his relationship with A Charlie Brown Christmas and start bringing that music to the public in terms of a live show, presenting shows as fundraisers often for different communities, and here in Halifax in particular, fundraisers for the Halifax Jazz Festival. It was my great honor and great pleasure to be able to sit down with Jerry Grinnelli for an interview. This interview lasts about, I'm going to say about 50 minutes all told. We're going to play a 10-minute clip now for you, and later on this week, you'll be able to go and hear the whole thing on via the Halifax Is Burning podcast, which you can find on iTunes, or you can also find at halifaxisburning.com. But I am so excited, and I feel so honored to have been able to spend some time with him and to talk about this iconic album. So here it is, a little bit of my conversation with jazz legend Jerry Grinnelli. Well, first of all, let's jump back and maybe if we could talk about the record and, and the making of the record. Because one of the things, when I saw the show the first time, I believe it was the first year that you did it, I think some people forget that jazz was
Shocking.
Yeah, shocking
and
art.
It wasn't on television.
Exactly.
You didn't hear it in car commercials.
Yeah, no, not at all. Yeah. So I was so fascinated by some of the stories you were telling about how, you know, it was almost a make or break deal because of the soundtrack, which has become so iconic.
I know. It's the second largest selling jazz record in history.
And one of the best selling Christmas records of all time.
Oh, it is the best one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you went into the studio with Vince to make the record, did you know what it was for?
Yeah, we knew we were doing that. But as I talk about it in the show, for us, you know, it was pretty ordinary, just a day's work.
Right.
It was fun because we'd got to hang out with Charlie Schulz, you know, and we're like, cool. And we tried to do this one documentary before, which nobody wanted. But it was more like we were a jazz trio, you know, and I think some of it's a little foggy. I make stuff up, and then Colin tells me I made stuff up. I said, but everybody else is dead, man, you know. Yeah. I can pretty much say what I want.
History's in your hands now.
Yeah. I think we even went to work that night at the Trident, you know.
Right. Just like a gig after. Yeah.
It was just another gig, Vig. And we got to see some of the little clips. Because the animation wasn't even done.
Right.
So, and if you notice, if you listen to the record or look at the old show, everything fades out. Mm. Nothing ends cleanly.
Interesting.
Because we didn't know how long
right.
Things were actually going to run, because it's like there wasn't the technology to watch it and play to it.
Right.
We could see a little bit and then play to it. So we would play to it with the image of, and the conversations with Charlie and Vince and the melodies that he wrote in our minds and in our hearts, you know. So, and it was pretty much one take stuff too, you know. I mean, Lee Mendelson, the producer, who's still alive, said, you know, he said, Jerry, I really believe that if there'd been one person different in that studio that day, we wouldn't have got it.
Mm. Right place, right time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Including the engineer, Don Geis, who was the most calm. And it was only four track machines, man.
Yeah.
So it was just like kind of natural. I met one of the little kids who was a grown, you know, 60-year-old person now or something. And he said, oh, you guys were so cool. You were running around playing with us and hanging out with us. You know, and so it was like that kind of vibe.
That's awesome. Was it like, I imagine, you know, most people are recording holiday records in like the summertime. Was it like way before Christmas?
No, it wasn't.
No, it was like a pretty fast turnaround?
It was a pretty fast turnaround because he brought down the first one. What, You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, I think, was the first one he did as a documentary about.
Mm-hmm.
About Charlie, and CBS, that's like, no. But they like, Coca-Cola was there, and they liked this one little animation thing. And I talk about this in the show, and they said to Lee, well, could you make a TV special about this? And Lee's like, being a producer, you know, he's like, oh, yeah. So he calls Charles Schultz and says, hey, man, bad news. They hate the other show. And Charles said, well, what's the good news? He said, they want to make a TV show. And it was like, what? And everybody goes, yeah. And then it's like, okay, let's do it. But we don't. Then it dawns, you know, when you hang up, he goes, shit, man, we don't have a story. You know, like.
Yeah,
and we don't even know how to animate this thing.
Right,
it's never been done before.
Do you remember the piece that they had chosen, like the Coke people? Which piece it was from?
I don't remember. I'll have to ask Lee.
Yeah.
It was just one little 3-second thing.
Oh wow!
Yeah, literally that they some Coca-Cola person. Coca-Cola is a real hero in this story.
Yeah, strange.
Isn't that weird?
It's strange. I mean, so do you think, and obviously people should go see the show so they get the full breadth of these stories, because you do tell some amazing stories. But, you know, the special has a pretty, especially at the end, like a pretty heavy Christian undertone. Do you think that's what the sponsors were responding to in that moment?
They were... It's I don't even know if it's Christian as much as it is, hey, what is this really about?
Sure, yeah, okay.
You know, like, let's go back to our roots here. It's not about going out and spending a gazillion dollars, which, of course, TV wants you to do.
Yeah, right. And I mean, so does Coke.
We're doing this, and tomorrow's like Black Friday.
Exactly,
starts,
right.
Man. Like,
yeah, yeah. The apex
you're
of spending.
Kidding? I mean, tonight it's starting in New York. I was just there, and they definitely didn't like the jazz music.
Mm.
They definitely didn't like the animation. And Coca-Cola was the hero. Coca-Cola said, we paid for it, man. So it's on.
Right.
You know, which is, I always say this in the show, which proves nobody messes with Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
So it had like a rebel quality.
Yeah,
to it.
Totally. Which is, I think, you know, 50 years later, you watch it, you would think there's nothing rebellious about this.
No. But it was outrageous at the time.
Yeah.
And when you think that 50 years from now, kids are wearing Snoopy pajamas and all that paraphernalia, all that merch, that wasn't there.
No.
You know, that wasn't there. That was all. I was just at Fantasy where we mixed Dance Hall.
Yeah.
And, you know, I walk in and the whole executive branch comes out to greet me, you know, and there's Vince's, the records on the wall.
Yeah.
So I was just like messing with him. Like, I was like, oh, wow, man, I probably paid for that chair. Hey, you guys got my chair? Do I get free food here or what?
Yeah. You know. Yeah. While you're in that process, like, how involved is the band in that process? Because often, you know, when you're working on a soundtrack or a score or something, you're kind of like, you do your thing and then you leave. How much investment did you have as a musician in the story of it unfolding? You know, were you aware that it almost didn't get made?
No, I didn't know any of that.
Right, so you kind of just went in the studio.
We went in, and I was working for Vince. And one of the things I learned from Vince Guaraldi is how to be a professional jazz musician. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, yeah.
You didn't make mistakes, dude. If you made mistakes, you got fired.
Right.
You know, and I had... And actually, somebody was paying me, you know, when we were at home, we were making $150 a week, which was real money because I'd only been making $8 a night, you know, playing jazz music. And we were in there to do this thing, to play as good as we could play. Now, we had no idea it was even that it was in danger. It wasn't going to happen.
Right.
I'm not even sure Vince knew all that, you know, that he when he took it to L.A., that they freaked.
Yeah.
I'm not sure he knew that. I wish I could ask him. But we just went on with our business, you know. We did the records with Bowl Sette, which were bigger, actually, than the Charlie Brown record was. The Charlie Brown record wasn't that big in the beginning.
No, not... Yeah, right.
That took...
It took decades of
took
sort
decades
of
people and yeah. families buying it and rebuying it and fantasy figuring out, oh, my God, this thing sells another 100,000 every year. They're doing another special edition. I just got a message from them. Oh, we want to send you another the new special edition. Far out, man.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep doing it till I'm 80. Then it'll be like 60 years old
right.
or something.
It was a good day in our house when they announced the repress. We were finally able to buy it on vinyl after all these years.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, last year we took vinyl on the road with us. It was all gone in 2 days.
Oh, man, yeah.
You know, yeah, and they're doing another vinyl version now.
Wow.
More packaging. They'll have me some. They're going to send me some. But we just, like, continued, you know. And then shortly after that, I left Vince and went into, quote, more freer music. And I didn't pay attention to it.
There you go. That's a little bit of my conversation with jazz legend Jerry Grinnelli. We were talking about a Charlie Brown Christmas. If you find yourself in Halifax, Nova Scotia on Sunday, December 10th, you can see a show called Tales of a Charlie Brown Christmas with the Jerry Grinnelli Trio, in which they perform all the music from the record. And also Jerry tells some amazing stories like this about how the special almost never got made and all kinds of just amazing, amazing tales. So I highly recommend checking it out. Jerry's also got a brand new record out right now called Dance Hall. You'll hear more about that on the podcasted version of this conversation, which you can find before the week is over at halifaxisburning.com. We're going to play another song from A Charlie Brown Christmas. This is perhaps one of the most iconic songs from this iconic record. This is called Linus and Lucy, and you're getting in the Christmas spirit here on Halifax is Burning.
Everybody knows when you're lonely. Everybody knows when you're sad. Everybody knows you've got a broken heart, but they don't know how bad. Everybody tells you they understand what you're going through, but the only one who's lonely is in bed. This is you. It's only you saw him, Jean. Only you saw those hands. Only you left to cry. So how would they understand? They may tell you they notice what you're going through, but the only one who's lonely is in bed. Is you. Everybody knows when you're lonely. Everybody knows when you're sad. Everybody knows you've got a broken heart, but they don't know how bad. Everybody tells you they understand what you're going through, but the only one who's lonely is in there. So this is you. Everybody knows when you're lonely. Everybody knows when you're sad. Everybody knows you've got a broken heart, but they don't know how bad. Everybody tells you they understand what you're going through, but the only one who's lonely is compared to this is you. Everybody knows when you're lonely. Everybody knows when you're sad. Everybody knows you've got a broken heart, but they don't know how bad. Everybody tells you they understand what you're going through, but the only one who's
That's something brand new from David Miles from his album Real Love, a song called Everybody Knows. Last week here in studio, we were so lucky to have David Miles join us for an in-studio interview, and you can find a podcasted version of that interview right now on iTunes as part of the Halifax is Burning Interviews podcast. You just go to iTunes, search Halifax is Burning, it'll pop up. You can also find it for download on halifaxisburning.com. David Miles is one of many performers who are heading to Fredericton, New Brunswick to perform as part of one of our favorite festivals, Shivering Songs, which takes place from January 18th to 21st. For the remainder here of the program, we're going to spend some time telling you about some other artists playing that festival, as well as the In the Dead of Winter Festival, which runs concurrently here in Halifax, Nova Scotia, from January 18th to January 20th. So here is a song from a band who is, I think they're on the cusp. They're going to be making waves in a big way in the next year, so just keep your eyes out. But Hillsburn are heading to Shivering Songs in Fredericton, New Brunswick. Here's a brand new single from their forthcoming record. This is called Bad Behaviors. The album is called The Wilder Beyond. And you can learn more about Shivering Songs at shiveringsongs.com. Turn out all right.
up the bad behaviors. Gotta keep up the bad behaviors.
Now for something completely different.
Track from Renee Smith called Survive. Renee Smith will be participating in the Shivering Songs Festival happening in Fredericton, New Brunswick from January 18th to 20th, and she will also be performing as part of the In the Dead of Winter Festival, which takes place in the exact same time in Halifax, Nova Scotia. We're going to hear an artist right now who is also performing at both festivals. She's got a brand new record out. It's called Audible Songs from Rockwood, and it is an unbelievable feat. This is a record from Simone Schmidt, who you may know as part of groups like $100 and The Highest Order. Her project Fiverr, which is a solo project, is responsible for this new record, Audible Songs from Rockwood. And basically for 2 years, Rockwood, the Rockwood Asylum for the Criminally Insane, is or was an asylum in Kingston, Ontario. And for 2 years, Simone Schmidt kind of pored over some of the primary documents from that asylum. So prison records and notebooks from the people in charge and medical records and all these kind of unbelievable documents about this unbelievably terrible place. And then she wrote a record about it. She wrote a record of songs based on the experiences she was able to glean through studying these documents, and predominantly the stories of women who were incarcerated at the Rockwood Asylum for the Criminally Insane between 1856 and 1881. So it's a great show, a great record, and very happy to play something by Fiverr right now. This is called Carry On Warm. You can see Fiverr performing at both Shivering Songs and In the Dead of Winter.
Late and day was coming fast, and the man never moved to ask. Took on dry, nose bled red, I broke right in front of him. Shame the louse and the tumors done, hung the wall with the setting sun. Taking gray, going to sea, sent from the island. Hearts make one trampled bird. Fail to fly, fail to fly. Freeze me down low with the cottage pie. Carry on warm, carry me cold. Stranger I come, stranger I go. Carry on. didn't have me in 9 to 5. First nip come from the owner's job, his lady having none of it. I heard hell what I just did. Hogs on fire, children hit. Can't say I don't see or know why. Can't say their time looks worse than mine. Floor of stone, bed of straw. Debt gets paid when your knees go raw. Oh, come pile, oh, come pile. Oh, come shake my marble and a while. Carry on, warm, carry me cold. Stranger, I come, stranger, I go. Carry on, warm, carry me cold. Stranger, I come, stranger, I go. Walk in the meadow where the sumac stand, looking for a bloom to fall in my hand. Out from the farmer with an angry word that I tucked in my dress where it's preferred. He asked me once, asked me twice, third time long, and not once nice. I answer each time with the truth, no lie. I come from the south, my name is Einabai.
Excellent album, Audible Songs from Rockwood. That's Fiver and a song called Carry On Warm. Fiver will be performing as part of In the Dead of Winter and Shivering Songs. If you'd like to learn more about both of those festivals, visit inthedeadofwinter.com and shiveringsongs.com. We're going to leave you tonight with a track from Nick Ferrio. He's no stranger to the In the Dead of Winter Festival. Been here a couple times to perform. He has a brand new record out right now. It's called Soothsayer. And we're going to go out tonight on a track that's called Quit Acting. If you want to hear more about Halifax Is Burning, do me a favor, head over to halifaxisburning.com. You can find past episodes there. You can also get subscribed to the Halifax Is Burning Interviews podcast. You can find Halifax Is Burning as well on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, wherever you choose to follow along. Much appreciated. Tell your friends about this radio show, especially if they like hearing about Atlantic Canadian music and about things happening in our own backyard. Here's Nick Ferrio on the way home. This song is called Quit Acting, and we're excited to see him at In the Dead of Winter come January. We'll see you next week. Take care of yourselves and one another.
Was that sparkle in your eye just a flash in the pan? I soon you decide to let go of my hand. It's your version of truth, served dry with vermouth. Should I asking, how many times will I disappear? Staring back at that ghost in the mirror. Am I wasting my time? The back of the line, the Union Station. I miss the 7:30 train again. I miss the 7:30.